church. Can we thank this team in the front and the back for leading us? Man, you guys do such an amazing job every single week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, my name's Austin. I'm on the team here at the church. And whether you've been with us for 30 minutes or for 30 years, we are simply a church with a vision to be a Jesus-centered church for the people of Los Angeles and ultimately for the world. And so there's three things that we want to do really well. First is we just want to know Jesus. Jesus crucified and the power of his resurrection. And so we make Jesus the center of everything that we do. And we think that as we fix our eyes on Jesus, we will actually begin to grow in faith, putting more of our hope and our trust and our allegiance in Jesus. And that as we do that, he actually begins to shape and transform us, equipping us to go out and serve the world, beginning with the people in our home, our neighbors, those in the workplace, and those in our schools. And so we've just wrapped up a 10-week series in the Gospel of Mark, and now as we kind of approach Holy Week, we're just 2 weeks away from Palm Sunday, we're going to do a 2-week series on how to love the lost. And so this morning, we'll be kicking off this How to Love the Lost series with having a heart for people out of Luke chapter 19. Now, as we kind of landed the plane on that previous 10-week Gospel of Mark series, Jesus had just sent out 12 people to expand the kingdom. He had just fed 5,000 people. And in the Gospel of Mark, his popularity is growing, and so is his polarization, if you will. When we get to Luke chapter 19, Jesus himself is approaching Holy Week. And at this point, Jesus is at the pinnacle of his popularity, but also his polarization. But as we look at Luke chapter 19, we're going to see a couple of things that are focused and centered on the heart. This will be our outline. First is we'll look at the heart most of us used to have when we first came to faith. We'll see Zacchaeus running ahead of Jesus and Zacchaeus receiving Jesus with joy. And then we'll look at the heart we might have developed over time as we seek after Jesus. And we'll see the people respond to this encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus, and we'll see Zacchaeus repent. And finally, we will look at the heart that we can have as Jesus redeems Zacchaeus. Again, that's the heart we used to have, the heart we might have, and the heart we can have. But I want to start with this. I saw a video recently of old school Tiger Woods. If you don't know who Tiger Woods is, he is probably one of the most transcendent athletes of all time, and certainly of golf. And when Tiger was in his prime, it was amazing to watch him play. As soon as he would hit the ball, everybody that was crowded around the tee box would sprint towards the ball. And as soon as they got to the ball, they would all begin to crowd around the ball until crowd control kind of had to push them away. As crowd control would make space for Tiger Woods, you'd see kids getting on their dad's shoulders. You'd see people begin to try and climb trees just to watch Tiger hit the ball. When we get to Luke chapter 19, we have a similar kind of scene here. Again, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for Passover, for what will become Holy Week. And Luke chapter 19 begins this way in verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered Jericho." He was passing through. "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus." And it gives a description of Zacchaeus. "He was a chief tax collector," which means he's a big dog. "And he was rich. He was wealthy. He had a lot of material possessions. And Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of this Tiger Woods-like crowd around Jesus, he could not see Jesus because he was small in stature. So what does Zacchaeus do? He runs on ahead. He finds a tree and he climbs up into it just to see Jesus, because Jesus was on his way and just about to pass by. This is that Tiger Woods moment. Jesus is on the move. The people are crowding around him, and Zacchaeus just wants a glimpse and an encounter with Jesus. And so he runs ahead. He climbs a tree, and he waits for Jesus to pass by. Luke here is commenting on the heart of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is filled with the thrill and the excitement just to see him, possibly to get a word from him. And so he presents himself a little bit undignified in this moment. You can imagine Zacchaeus being a man of riches and wealth and material possessions. He is dressed in designer clothing, which in the first century is a designer tunic, if you will. It probably reaches the ground, and so he probably has to pull it up just a little bit so that he can run ahead of the crowd. And as he climbs the tree, he's got to finagle his tunic to get into the tree just to see Jesus. And you can imagine people seeing this chief tax collector, a man of great status, begin to make himself undignified simply to see Jesus. Matthew Henry comments on this a little bit. It says, because Zacchaeus would not disappoint his curiosity in who Jesus was, Zacchaeus forgot his gravity, the gravity of his position and status as a chief of the publicans. And he ran before the crowd like a boy and climbed up into a sycamore tree just to see him. Church, do you remember what it was like when you first came to Jesus? The thrill and the excitement of your first Bible study, your first time into a prayer meeting, your first time to a church service. The thrill that filled your imagination with, man, I'm going to encounter God. That you're willing to miss events, outings, with friends, and maybe skimp on your homework a little bit. This is that same kind of moment as Luke talks about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is filled with the thrill and the excitement of seeing Jesus. And for some of us, we've been following Jesus for a long time, and in our quest and a heart for the Lord, some of the thrill and the excitement of encountering God has subsided. If that thrill of encountering God, that kind of interest in running ahead of the crowd and climbing trees has disappeared from your life, I would encourage you this week. Make that a prayer of yours. Lord, revive in me the thrill of running after you, the thrill of seeking after you. This is the first point. Many of us, when we came to faith, this is the heart we used to have, is that we would, like Zacchaeus, run after Jesus. And this is the second point when it comes to the heart we used to have. Zacchaeus receives. Again, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for Passover. Zacchaeus has run on ahead and climbed into a tree just to see Jesus, and beginning in verse 5. And when Jesus finally came to the place, he looked up into the tree and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down now, for I must stay at your house today. Verse 6, and so Zacchaeus hurried and hopped out of the tree, came down and received Jesus joyfully. Reminds me a little bit of my dog, George Washington, my golden retriever. If we go to a coffee shop to work, he will kind of just look around at the people, try and say hi to as many folks as he can, but then he'll just lay still at the table, waiting for me to be on the move until our next thing. And when I'm eventually done working, I'll look at George, I'll say, come on, hurry up, let's go. And as soon as I do, without missing a beat, George jumps to his feet. He does his dog shake to get off the loose hair and begins his little prance trot out of the coffee shop to our next event. Something similar is happening here. Zacchaeus is waiting patiently, somewhere ahead of Jesus in a tree. And when Jesus comes to Zacchaeus, he says, "Zacchaeus, come on, hurry, let's go." Without missing a beat, Zacchaeus jumps down, probably shakes off his tunic with the branches and the leaves in it, and receives Jesus joyfully. It's a good thing to receive Jesus with joy. This is another kind of a description of what it's like to receive Jesus with joy. This is Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 44. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, and when he found it, he covered it up. Then in his great and exceeding joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls and jewelry, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had just to buy it. Church, do you remember receiving Jesus for the first time? The joy that overflowed in your heart, receiving his word, receiving communion, receiving the community of faith with great joy. For some of you, because of life circumstances, some of the joy of Jesus has faded. And it might feel a bit more like just a lot of sacrifice and not a lot of joy. Just a lot of hardship and not a lot of joy. If that's you, I would encourage you, direct you, if I will, to say, "Lord, help me again to receive you with great joy. Help me remember what it was like when I was lost and then I was found and the joy that came with it." This is point number two when it comes to the heart we used to have, is that Zacchaeus receives. And there's point number three. This is the heart we might have as the people respond to this encounter. Again, Jesus on his way to Jerusalem for Passover. Zacchaeus runs on ahead and climbs into a tree, and then Zacchaeus quickly climbs down and receives Jesus with joy. In verse 7, "And when the crowd saw it, they all exclaimed with joy, 'Yes, another person has joined our team.'" It's not what the crowd says. They grumble and they mutter. And they say, "Jesus has gone in to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner." Quickly forgetting that they too at one point were this man or this woman who was a sinner invited by Jesus. In other words, the people are disappointed with Jesus. And I get it. They've been following Jesus probably for a while now, some of them for several years. And with good hearts, they have been working to conform their lives to Jesus, trying to pursue this new holiness, godliness, sanctification, trying to develop this heart for the Lord, living this new Jesus life. And Jesus has been spending a great deal of time with them. But now, kind of at the drop of a hat, Jesus is spending time with someone who is far less mature, far less holy, far less godly, far less sanctified, far less living the Jesus life. And you say, "Jesus, I've been following you for 3 years. Give me your attention. Leave this guy to his own." Daryl Bach kind of just mentions it this way. He says, "The reaction to Jesus' choice for a host does not meet with popular approval. The crowd judges that Jesus has chosen to be the guest of a sinner, and they begin to mutter." It's a verb like the one used of the Israelites when they complained about being in the desert after the Exodus. In other words, the Israelites, God does this amazing work among them. He begins to lead them and work in a different way, and they quickly forget the goodness of God in Egypt and begin to grumble against God in the desert. And here's a moment in which this whole crowd has been following Jesus and hearing his teachings and his miracles, and then as he begins to work in a different way with Zacchaeus, they begin to grumble and mutter, forgetting what God had done in their lives. So church, if we're honest, we all want to identify with Zacchaeus. We all want to identify as the person that runs on ahead and becomes undignified and climbs trees and receives Jesus with joy. However, let me challenge us. For those of us that have been following Jesus for some time, several years, several decades, the odds are good that we are far more like the crowd than we are like Zacchaeus. Sometimes shocked, appalled, and even disapproving of the ones that Jesus begins to show favor to. In other words, we've matured and we've grown and we've developed in holiness and godliness, and we think that Jesus should continue to shower us with his presence and his favor and leave the others to their own devices. But we're quick to forget the story of the prodigal son. God's favor is for those that remain close to home and also for those that are prone to wander. So church, who are the people that it rubs you a little bit the wrong way and makes you bristle when Jesus is moving among them? And maybe when Jesus is moving amongst a group of people that are a different political or social persuasion than you are. When he's moving amongst people that are a different socioeconomic status than you are, the rich or the poor. Maybe it's when he's moving amongst people that are of different status than you, when he's moving amongst the famous or amongst those on Skid Row. And if you're like me, you're guilty of grumbling, of muttering, Jesus, why are you moving in this way? So pray this week. Lord, soften my heart from grumbling. This is point number three. This is the part, the heart we might have as the people respond. This is point number four. Again, the heart we might have as Zacchaeus repents. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for Passover. Zacchaeus has run on ahead of Jesus, climbed a tree, received Jesus joyfully. The people have responded by grumbling. And then verse 8 says, and Zacchaeus stood up as tall as he could, being a man of small stature, and said to Jesus, behold, Lord, the half of all of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded or cheated anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Zacchaeus here has a dramatic internal change of heart, which leads to a lavish external display of allegiance. This is really what repentance is. Repentance is an internally reoriented heart towards God that actually externally reorients our actions up, down, and all around. I was thinking about my mom and her green thumb with the plants at the house. During wintertime in these cold Oklahoma winters, some of the plants will begin to fade. The leaves will begin to wither, and the plant will be almost on the verge of death. And then as springtime rolls around, my mom freely brings a big old pitcher of water, freely waters that plant. The plant freely receives the water that's being poured into its soil, and then the plant all of a sudden begins to sprout again. The leaves, their green returns, their branches grow, it begins to extend again. This is the similar kind of thing that is happening. Jesus sees the clear need of Zacchaeus for salvation. And Zacchaeus receives him joyfully. And then Zacchaeus reorients his actions towards Jesus, towards the crowd and everybody around him. In other words, Zacchaeus isn't giving away his things to get favor with Jesus. He's already been given favor by Jesus, and now he responds accordingly. This is how Matthew Henry says it. Zacchaeus does not expect to be justified by these works of generosity as the Pharisee who boasted of what he had done, but by his good works, he will, when he begins to give, by Zacchaeus's good works, he will, through the grace of God, evidence the sincerity of his faith and repentance. And here in this moment, he declares what his determination is. It says, he made this declaration standing that he might be seen and heard by those who were grumbling at Christ for coming to his house. His standing also denotes his saying it deliberately and with solemnity in the nature of kind of a vow to God. In other words, when the root gets changed, the fruit gets changed. And so, church, here's some great news for you. Repentance is available. You can be justified before Christ by faith alone. Christ receives you when you turn to him without having done anything. No works are required of you. But church, also, works always become the outward display of this kind of inward change. If there is no fruit, there may be no root. But we have this tendency, you know, I kind of want to talk about this heart we might have developed over time again. Sometimes we have this tendency to look upon people like Zacchaeus that have fresh faith in Christ and a renewed zeal for the church. We tend to look at them with a bit of suspicion. They come excited to read their Bible every day and attend church and serve every single week and start a community group. And we just say, huh, we're kind of curious if they'll maintain this vow. Curious if they'll be faithful or if they're just going to kind of fall off the bandwagon because they've seen so many people do it before. And for us that have been a part of faith for a long time, this suspicion may cause us to develop a heart that doesn't actually encourage people to read our Bible with them, to attend church with them, that when they don't show up to community group, to follow up with them. Kind of have this tendency to think they kind of need to prove themselves first before they're a part of our holy huddle. And so I want to encourage you to examine your heart. When it comes to the lost and those that are fresh to faith, is your heart one that kind of says, hey, we'll see? A little cynical, a little suspicious. I don't know how this is going to turn out. We're just going to wait for them to prove themselves. Or is our heart one of encouragement? Let me read with you. Let me attend with you. Let me follow up with you. Let me disciple you. If you've seen your heart become a heart that is a bit calloused towards those that are coming to faith, make it your prayer. Lord, help me encourage those that are changing their ways. This is the heart accidentally that we might have developed as we follow Jesus. And this is the fifth and final point. This is the great news. This is the heart that we can have as Jesus redeems Zacchaeus. Again, Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. Zacchaeus sees him, runs on ahead, climbs a tree, hops out of the tree, receives Jesus with joy. The people begin grumbling. Zacchaeus repents. They kind of think, we'll wait to see if he actually does what he says he's going to do. But then this is how Jesus responds in verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also now is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus knows the reorientation of Zacchaeus' heart. He sees the reorientation of his actions, and it becomes great gain to Zacchaeus. Jesus confers salvation upon him, that he'll be blessed to be a blessing because he is now a son of Abraham. And more than anything, Jesus is inviting him into the family of faith. This is what Jesus does when people repent and begin to follow him. He invites them into his church, into his people, into his faith family. It reminds me of people that get, I guess the short phrase is, they get pilled in some colorful way. If people get gold pilled, if you're not familiar with the phrase, they become believers in Bitcoin. Because they're believers in Bitcoin, they begin to align their actions with it, and they begin to invest in Bitcoin, and they become a part of this crypto Bitcoin family. Some of you know some of these people. If people get green-pilled, they become these people that are very much into sustainable living. They believe in sustainable living now. And they invest their money in sustainable living products, and they become a part of this family of people that are all trying to get grounded and sustainable living-like. Zacchaeus has been Jesus-pilled. Zacchaeus now believes in Jesus not just with his heart, but he has reoriented his actions towards being a disciple of Jesus. And as a result, he's now a part of the Jesus family. Matthew Henry again talks about this. It says, when Zacchaeus becomes a convert, he will be more than he has been. Previously rich, wealthy, a chief tax collector, a man of great status and material possessions. But now in his conversion, he will be more than he has been. He will now be a blessing to his house. He will bring the means of grace and salvation to his house, for he is a son of Abraham indeed now. And therefore, like Abraham, he will teach his household to keep the way of the Lord. Church, I want to comfort you with this. Jesus comes to seek those that are outside the family of God. Those that are far from faith, Jesus comes seeking after them. And when he doesn't leave them on their own, but he brings them into the family. For any of you at one point that can remember a time in which you were away from faith, you now know what it's like to be rehomed into the family of faith. At one point, the psalmist will say, he sets the solitary in homes. In other words, when Jesus seeks out and saves the lost, he doesn't do it as atomized individual, but he saves them and then he incorporates them into God's people. And so, church, I want to challenge us and also encourage us, because I think our church is so good at this, but I just want us to keep kind of inspecting our hearts a bit. As people that want a heart like Jesus, we have to make sure we are the kinds of people that allow space and grace and encouragement for people to join the family. We have to allow people, hey, there's a seat next to me on Sunday morning. Come sit with me. Hey, there's a community group for you. Come meet with us. Hey, we've got a Bible study, a discipleship group that is happening. Come read with us. We have to become the kinds of people that say, you're new to faith, there's room for one more in my group. There's room for one more in my row. There's room for one more in my space. Because that's what Jesus does. Now Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham and his house is a part of the family. And so church, you might need to make this your prayer this week. Lord, give me a heart for the lost. Give me a heart to invite and make space for an ever-expanding family of God. See, church, if we aren't careful, and this does require stewardship over our heart, we will simultaneously develop a heart for the Lord while not maintaining a heart for the lost. And if we truly want a heart for the Lord, having a heart for the lost just becomes a part of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning in which we are able to gather together to worship, to practice confession, to to be the gift of presence to one another, to hear your word and to take communion. And so, Jesus, just ask you this morning, would you continue to give us a heart for you, but also a heart for the lost? Would you remind us of the heart that we used to have when we first came to faith? And if we have accidentally developed a heart that is cynical or calloused or not encouraging to those that are coming to faith, would you just soften our hearts? And would you give us the heart of Jesus for those that are lost, always inviting to church on Sunday morning, always inviting into our community group, always inviting to serve with us, always inviting to read our Bibles together, always inviting to pray together. Jesus, would you give us a heart for the lost? It's in the name of